Jesus knows what lies ahead of him, and still he presses forward. He comes riding into Jerusalem on the back of a colt to the cheers of the crowd, a royal entry, recalling the prophecy of Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus rides into town on a colt, while the throngs of people throw down their cloaks ahead of him and shout, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Did you hear it? This multitude of disciples shouting praise sounds very much like the multitude of angels who sang out those same words at Jesus' birth. The people seem to recognize, as the angels did, that this is the Christ, the true King. The shouts, the praise, the palms, the entry into Jerusalem, the public anticipation of what this man has come to do, it is so beautiful. It is so electrifying. It is so true. It is so deadly. Jesus knows. Jesus knows what lies ahead, and still he goes. The people's praise rings out around him, pointing to the sacred truth that Jesus himself has been pointing to all along. He is the one who has come in the name of the Lord. He has come to upend the powers that be. He has come to annihilate forces we thought were indestructible. He has come to obliterate boundaries we thought were fixed, to tear down walls we thought were immovable. He has come to gather us all in. The people in Jerusalem that day perceive the truth. They may not perceive all of it. They don't perceive all of it. They may still think this is all merely political. They may think that this man has come to start a revolution that will end when he takes the throne from Herod. They may not perceive the whole truth, but they do perceive the truth. Here is the one who has come in the name of the Lord. This is a revolution. This revolution will not end with a political coup. This revolution is about more than one nation, more than an earthly throne, more than mere politics, more than one small slice of time. This revolution is about so much more, and it has only just begun. And the Pharisees are rattled. They had already tried to warn Jesus that Herod wanted to kill him. Now they try again to get Jesus to control his people. Their acclamation of Jesus as king is treason. There is already a king on the throne. And any subversive attempt to take that throne from him will be deadly. Teacher, order your disciples to stop, they implore Jesus. But Jesus will not stop the crowds from shouting the truth, just as he will not stop living the truth. He responds to them, "I tell you, if these people were silent, the stones would shout out." Here is the real truth now. The man riding in on the donkey to shouts of praise will be betrayed, arrested, deserted, tortured, mocked, abandoned, executed. But he will not be stopped. He will never be stopped. Nor will his truth be stopped. Even if people were to stop seeing it, stop believing it, stop telling it, stop singing it, it would still be so true that creation itself would remember and pass it on. And what about us? Like the crowds hailing him that day, we just barely perceive only a portion of his truth. And what bit of truth we do recognize, we tend to want to analyze or argue, to dissect or deconstruct, to defend or dismiss. It's all more manageable that way. But what if we could just let it speak to us instead? Today is a day to lay down our beloved intellectual defenses like cloaks on the road before Jesus. Just lay down our resistance and let the truth tell itself to us again. This is the week for that, to let the stories get inside us and move around a bit, to let the truth inhabit us and start to grow in us. Consider what it would look like to let the truth of this story come to life in our own lives. How will it upend the powers that be? How will it annihilate forces we thought were indestructible? How will it tear down walls we thought were insurmountable? How will this revolution be unleashed in our own lives? How will his courage take hold of us when we face death-dealing forces? How will we keep pressing forward, no matter what lies ahead? How will we let him gather us in? It starts now with letting his sad and hard and beautiful and holy and deadly story inside. And the parts that seem strange or difficult, maybe we can just let them be. We don't have to fix them or figure them out. Not today. We can listen to them and sing them, because sometimes what mystery needs is music, and sometimes what the truth needs is simply to be told. So, now is the time to listen again and to sing, to breathe and to let go, to make space for the mystery of God's self-giving love, and to let the truth of Jesus' passion come to live inside our hearts again and grow in our lives. So may God bless again the telling and the hearing, the singing and the living of God's holy word.